Dead Ringers.
You're listening to Today with me, Nick Robinson.
And me, Martha Carney. The Brexit Party have denied insulting the European Parliament by turning their backs. They explained they were just getting their asses nearer to the microphone so they could be heard more clearly. Boris Johnson is promising an extra 20,000 police on the streets. He'll do this by trebling the number of arguments he has with his girlfriend.
EU leaders have for the first time proposed a female politician to take over as EU Commission Chief from Jean-Claude Juncker. She made this statement.
This is a real honour. I asked Donald Tusk why I was chosen, and he said that in the past 3 years, no one had done more than me to make the EU look good.
US players in the Women's World Cup semi-final against England celebrated scoring by mockingly sipping a cup of tea. Oddly, the England players didn't celebrate by mockingly buying 8 assault weapons without needing a background check.
In spite of the mocking, the Lionesses reached the semi-finals, and joining me on the line is one of them, Nikita Paris. Nikita, this World Cup has been a watershed moment in football, inspiring a whole generation of young girls.
Yeah, that's right. I'm dead proud to have been part of a tournament that's inspired a whole generation of young girls to bloody hate VAR.
This week, the Tory leadership contest continued like Series 7 of a Netflix show that should have been cancelled 3 seasons ago, with Boris Johnson promising a review of so-called sin taxes. He joins me now.
Well, I. That is, that's right, we all deserve a little pleasure in life. Just the occasional chocolate bar washed down with a bottle of fizzy pop.
Nothing more sinful? Really sinful?
Please, stop saying sinful. You're going to release him. You've no idea what it takes to keep him in check and make me seem palatable. Likeable, even.
But why stop at these sins? What about removing the tax from porn, strip clubs, lap dancing?
Martha, don't make me Randy. You wouldn't like me when I'm Randy. No, mustn't think about porn, strip clubs, lap dancing. Oh, God, he's here. Bad Boris is here.
Sinful? Sinful? I'll give you sinful and whopping great Boris loads. Shut up. Yeah. Let's bally well fill our boots with forbidden pleasures of the flesh. Under Boris, there'll be no taxes to pay on knocking up your best friend's fruity wife. And then deleting her from your phone contacts when the little sprog is born.
Shut up. Be quiet. You are ruining this for me.
Listen, I must go. I've got some high-level rogering I must attend to.
Meanwhile, Jeremy Hunt bored everyone by constantly reminding them he was an entrepreneur.
Martha, as an entrepreneur, can I tell you why that is? It's because that is how I'll win.
The Tory leadership contest?
Hardly. Boris has that sewn up. No. This is just a dry run for what I really want to win. The next series of The Apprentice. I'm bland, overconfident, and always banging on about what a go-getter I was, masterminding my own business. I'm a shoo-in. That's why I'm spending the rest of today selling orange juice outside Harrods and designing a marketing campaign for a fully digital toilet brush.
Finally, Mr. Hunt, are you regretting your remarks about the Hong Kong protesters after China objected to them?
Not at all. Listen, I won't be lectured about democracy by a country where grey-haired party members elect the new leader while the people have no say.
Have you been called old and frail? Do people accuse you of being rigid and inflexible? Show them how fit for office you really are with my new Get Fit workout video, Cardio with Corbyn. We shall start with some yoga. First, assume an impossibly convoluted position, even if it causes some unpleasant ruptures. Now hold it. Hold. Keep holding. Make sure you don't change position. Not until it's really, really unsustainable. Next, some jogging on the spot. If you're going to cut it as leader of the opposition, you have to be able to expend huge amounts of energy whilst going absolutely nowhere. That's cardio with Corbyn. It really works. But don't just take my word for it. Here is a totally impartial customer.
I love doing cardio with Corbyn. It makes me feel like I'm 65. Which is indeed my age.
Order now and receive a free Tom Watson punch bag.
Shut up, everyone. Whose question can I ramble over next?
Sir, about your 4th of July parade, it's a bit extravagant.
Look, this is all for America, okay? July 4 was the unforgettable day when George Washington rebelled as the English King Ralph III floated a blip of him over the Hudson River. And he threw all the tea overboard because he'd just invented Coke Zero. And that was how Colonel Sanders got his beard. A true story.
But they're estimating it will cost millions to stage.
Wrong. So wrong. It's costing nothing. I did a deal with my great friend Kim Jong-un, and he's supplying all the tanks. Free of charge. Hundreds and hundreds of North Korean tanks on the streets of D.C. Great job, great job. And if I'm very lucky, he's going to chuck in a couple of nukes in my direction, too.
Hello and welcome to the Antiques Roadshow, Glastonbury for people who wear blazers. Today we're joined by our newest expert, Gary Lineker. So Gary, I had no idea you were so passionate about antiques.
Well, Fiona, I'm not, but seeing as the BBC's paying me the same as the GDP of a small South American country, they thought I should provide analysis on all their shows from now on.
Off you go.
Alan Shearer, it's been a frustrating afternoon. Could this early Victorian claret jug turn stuff around, do you think?
Oh, without a doubt, Gary. It's got the hallmark of a top-quality jug. A few cracks starting to appear, which could cause problems later on, but the ornamental grapevine motif on the glaze, that, for me, is a great finish.
Lovely stuff, Alan. Now, if you'll excuse us, Fiona, Alan and I are off to judge the sewing bee in 20 minutes and need to quickly Google some other types of clothes that aren't just shiny open-collar shirts.
Welcome to Big Nigel's bloody great Brexity battle boozer! Today, I'm joined by my Brexit party MEPs! You know, we went to Strasbourg, and when the band played that travesty Ode to Joy, we all turned our backs. A clear message to the EU that we will not be cowed.
No, actually, Nigel. I turned my back because I'd sunk 10 cans of special brew on the Eurostar and needed a discreet whittle.
I actually turned my back to be sick.
Well, serves you right for eating foreign food.
No, it was because I saw a woman wearing trousers.
Look, can we please get back to the serious business of protesting the EU?
I turned my back to protest mass migration.
Oh, that's more like it. At last, a sensible Simon.
The mass migration of lizard people from the depths of hell. Oh.
Stop the recording.
I turned my back because I was watching porno on my phone.
No, wait, hang on.
Turn my back to protest the Sikhs controlling the weather.
Oh, dear.
I turn my back to fart Jerusalem.
Oh. Right, shut this down. If you don't hear from me again, tell my wife I never loved her.
Welcome back to the BBC's Wimbledon coverage. We haven't gone anywhere. I just like to yell, welcome back, every few hours, just to make sure you're still awake. Let's go courtside now, where Andy Murray is talking to Martina Navratilova. So, Andy, you've teamed up with Serena Williams for the mixed doubles.
Yes, Martina, and I'm over the moon. I'm cock-a-hoop. I'm doing cartwheels on cloud nine like a dog with two todgers.
Why did you choose Serena then? Her experience, her pace, her winning mentality?
Not really. I just like furious women who shout at me. I've no idea why.
Andy, your match starts in 5 minutes. Get out there before I stick that racket up your tram lines.
Yes, sorry, Mother.
People of Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Here's a fun game. Without Googling it on your phone, say my name out loud. That's right. You've forgotten it, haven't you? People all over the UK are saying, why is she still here being Prime Minister after she resigned? Why am I watching this strange woman shake hands with Putin with a face like a weary bishop in a novelty chess set? Why do I see her ignoring Ivanka Trump with other world leaders? This is bonkers. Have I suddenly slipped into a different dimension? The short answer to that is yes. In this dimension, Eton doesn't exist, so Boris Johnson now works in Hamleys selling Union Jack teddies to bemused Chinese tourists. He's still friends with David Cameron, who lives in a caravan on his parents' driveway after getting sacked from his job as an assistant manager at Halfords. And they both get letters every month from Michael Gove, who's serving a 10-stretch for possession of cocaine. I like this dimension. I think I'll stay here.
This is the 10 o'clock news with me, £500,000 a year's worth of prime Welsh beef. Over to Brussels now, and there's a new name to take on the top role in the European Commission. We can talk to the current president on the line.
Oh, I cannot wait to be through, Hugh.
President Juncker, do you feel any sense you wish you could stay in power until Brexit is concluded?
No, I do not. I have aged a million years. I am only 32.
OK, well, I believe your replacement is with you. Ms. von der Leyen, are you going to bring fresh energy and enthusiasm to the role? Ms. von der Leyen?
I'm already so fed up with the British Brexit.
But you haven't even started yet.
Exactly. This is a decision I am going to rule, Hugh.
Ms. von der Leyen, Jeremy Hunt and Boris Johnson have suggested Europe may now be open for renegotiations.
I don't know how to be more clear to you, Hugh. It does not matter who is elected, whether it's the blonde blobfish one or the tall one who looks like a pencil. Nothing will happen because they haven't got a clue, Hugh.
No renegotiations.
I will say this one more time to you, Hugh. Do not misconstrue, Hugh. Negotiations are through, Hugh.
She hates the Brits just as much as I do, Hugh.
Until next time, thank you.
Tschüss, Hughes.
Adieu, Hugh.
You've reached the office of the Dalai Lama. Please only leave a message if you're a proper hottie.
Dalai Alpaca. This is the Donald. Heard your comments about wanting your successor to be an attractive woman, and that's a great idea. So great, so great. I've actually been thinking of doing something similar with the presidency. I thought about asking my wife, but then I remembered the real Melania died months ago. Then it came to me. The next president should be someone I find so sexy that I cry myself to sleep at night. The Queen of England. There's something about all those shiny jewels that makes me go gaga, gaga, gaga. All the world leaders already know and respect her, and she's got an ass like a chicken drumstick. Anyway, call me back and we'll go to Hooters.
Hello again and welcome to Country File with me, John Craven, counting the days until I'm replaced by Fiona Bruce. Today, we're checking out a scheme to reintroduce endangered hermit crabs
back into the wild. And with that report, trying to earn his massive BBC salary, it's Gary Lineker.
Yeah, thanks, John. Joining me in a slippery rock pool is Alan Shearer. Alan, difficult conditions out there today, with a number of crabs being eaten by gulls.
Well, Gary, like you say, a tough start, but it was never going to be easy. It's a crowded pool. For me, I'd like to see the crabs go forward more. It's all either left or right. Right to left, you know. That's not going to get bums on deck chairs.
Finally, Alan, bit of an incident there with the net.
Yeah, you know, kids come along with the net and scooped up most of the lads. That, for me, is a disgrace.
Great stuff. We're going to have to leave it there as I've just trodden on something spiky and I'm slowly losing consciousness.
Hello? I'm Andrew Neil. The roll of Andrex you dropped in the toilet and didn't fish out quickly enough. On the show tonight, we've got a man who sticks Jaffa cakes in his ear, a kumquat that belonged to Geoffrey Chaucer, a traffic warden who claims he invented Blue Peter, and Diane Abbott!
Andrew, cease your dismissiveness, for this is an emergency. We're in a national crisis. Someone in the civil service has smeared Jeremy by calling him frail.
Jeremy Corbyn is not frail?
Well, you can ask him yourself, Andrew. See, here he comes, abseiling out of your left nostril on one of your nose hairs.
Yes, it is I, Jeremy Corbyn, fit as a vegan butcher's dog and ready for a general election, ready to take the fight to those bastards in the Labour Party.
You mean the Conservative Party?
You do politics your way, Andrew. I shall do it mine. No, Andrew, I'm extremely young for a 70-year-old.
Because you own a bike and work your allotment?
No, because of my loyal friends at Momentum. They introduced this on the back of the Labour Party membership card.
Let me have a look. I would like Jeremy Corbyn to live on after my death.
Thanks to their organ harvesting scheme, everybody in the Labour Party selflessly donates to my body bank. As a result, it is estimated by Seamus that I shall live for 1,000 years. And here's a crazy thought. I could even live long enough to see me announce Labour's unqualified backing for a second referendum.
Rejoice in that thought. Rejoice, rejoice.
So, you're not frail?
I'll tell you what I told Owen Jones. That's none of your business, so butt out, unless, like Owen, you want to wake up in a cheap motel room in an ice bath with a mysterious scar across your abdomen and no memory of the previous 72 hours.
Who am I to argue? Under the BBC donor scheme, I was given Basil Brush's tail to staple onto my head.
You have reached the voicemail of BBC Chair Sir David Clementi. If it's about why Vanessa Feltz gets paid so much, I haven't got the foggiest. Clementi, my old chestnut, Nigel here. I'll cut to the chase. I am fuming, and not just because Clementi sounds Italian. Now, I have just seen the BBC top salaries list, and there must be some mistake. I can't see my name on there at all, despite the fact that I'm never off the bloody channel. You think I go on Question Time to scaremonger about the Polish every week for fun? Well, actually, you're right, but I like to get paid too. I'm just what Auntie Beeb needs. Come on, I can sing, I can dance, I can even dog whistle, you know. I'm like a right-wing Jim Davidson, actually. I've already come up with a cracking Saturday night game show where the losers get deported. I call it the Windrush Generation Game. Nice to deport you, nice.
In a world filled with death and despair, there is one group of British superheroes dedicated to upholding all that is good and decent. Sir Ian McKellen.
One ring to rule them all.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
One ship against an entire Klingon fleet.
Dame Judi Dench.
One shot. That's all you have, 007.
And Sir Alan Bennett.
One more of those on your plate, Gladys, and you'll start to look like a fondant fancy.
They are the national treasures. Deep beneath BAFTA HQ, the national treasures have been summoned.
Why are we here? I was about to board a plane to LA to film more episodes of Star Trek Picard.
Back in the stretch Leica at your age, mother? Well, Ducky, remember to pack the Vaseline for chafing.
Quieten down, you two. We're here to welcome the latest national treasures, the Lionesses.
More sports people? Was that wise? Football always reminds me of PE at school and the ritual humiliation suffered by those of us surgically attached to a chunky knit sweater.
Step forward, Steph Houghton.
But we aren't worthy. We lost the semi-final. I missed that penalty.
Which, darling, is precisely why you are national treasures, Treacle. We English do not like our sports people to actually win. You see, that's for vulgar countries like Australia or America. We like them to do really well for a bit, but then fall short in the end. That's what captures our hearts.
So step forward, Lionesses, and enter our special National Treasures Hall of Fame, where you will join such luminaries as Tim Henman.
Well, it's been 3 hours now, but I'm not giving up my dream. I know I can get the lid off this jar of Marmite.
Come on, Tim!
And Harry Kane.
Yeah, you know, I was gutted for the Lionesses. That their dreams didn't come true in the end, but them for English footballers having your dreams crushed in a semi-final, well, it's a dream come true, really.
Hello, you have reached the answer phone of Jeremy Hunt. No, this isn't the tone, it's my voice.
Hi there, Jeremy. It's Andy Murray. Listen, I'm always on the lookout for a doubles partner. They don't have to do much. Just stand there doing the basics, making little impact while the other person marches on to victory. You'd be perfect. Let me know if you're in. Otherwise, I'll ask Chukka. He'll play for anyone.
Coming this summer, yet another remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, where the magical wonderland of sweet treats is opening its doors once again.
The doors are opening, Charlie. Here he comes. Look at the silhouette of his crazy hair.
Foie, foie, yeah. Come in, children. Sugary snacks for all. Everlasting gobstoppers. Cavity-filling caramels. Chocolate waterfalls. And all 100% tax-free.
Grandpa, aren't this many sweets bad for you?
Ah, piffle, Blondie. I've been scoffing down E-numbers for years. Never did me any harm.
Why are your sweets so cheap? What are your motives? And who are those men walking around with Coca-Cola lanyards and pockets full of cash?
Oh, blimey, you ask a lot of questions. Just like my own kids, I imagine. anyone for a sherbety snozcumber?
Charlie, let's go. I don't think he cares about us.
Oh, blast. This scabby hermit is onto me. Quick, Oompa Loompas, distract them with a song while I run away.
Oompa Loompa, dee-dee-dee-dee. Who really profits from this policy? Oompa Loompa, diddly-dunt. Still, at least he's not Jeremy Hunt.
Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah. I miss having you around the White House.
Sir, it's 4 a.m.
I mean, who am I meant to ask what to do now? My conscience? Never liked the guy. Little green cricket in a top hat. Always whistling. Bad dude, very smug. Sarah, I can't sleep. I just can't decide whether to listen to my generals and obliterate Iran.
And what are you stuck on?
Where Iran is. And what obliterate means.
I'll put together a press pack, sir.
When you say pack?
Well, a short 5-page summary. A 1-paragraph summary.
A doodle of a cartoon shark with huge breasts saying Iran bad.
It's still a bit long. Sarah, this Iran stuff is very sad. It takes away from the great time I had at the G21.
G20.
21 if you include Ivanka. She's very smart. She had great answers to all the difficult questions the politicians asked her. Questions like, what the hell are you doing here?
I really should be going, sir.
Did you see the crazy weather in Mexico? 6 foot of snow? That's just 5 inches shorter than me. Check my medical.
Scientists are saying it's to do with climate change.
Scientists say a lot of things. You can't make Jupiter a golf course. We can't give you breast implants so you can motorboat yourself. That hooker who did your medical is not a professional doctor.
I gotta go, sir, but I enjoyed your 4th of July parade. Very you.
I wanted to keep it tasteful. It's just some fireworks, few tanks, a hot dog eating contest, and me riding around nude on the back of a tiger, firing nukes at Canada and yelling, "Do you love me now, Daddy?"
Is that all, sir?
Wait. There was one more thing. I watched our ladies' soccer team beat the Brits, but I was confused. They all had these numbers on the back of their shirts, 8, 9, 10, but not one of them was more than a 5. I mean, who's rating these broads? And more importantly, when's the swimsuit round?
Good night, sir.
Hello, I'm Jane Garvey. Welcome to Woman's Hour. The menopause is something every woman will go through, but why do our experiences of it vary so dramatically? We'll be hearing from an expert in hormonal therapies.
Yes, I'll be here getting post-hot flush analysis and getting the views of Alan Shearer.
Well, Gary, it's come on late in the day, but made quite an impact, and I'll bet a few people will lose sleep over it tonight. And that, for me, is a menopause.
Nice one, Alan.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Culshaw, Lewis MacLeod, Jan Ravens and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Neff Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Howarth, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bug, Simon Alcock, Sarah Gibbs, Lewis Cook and Edward Chew. It was a BBC Studios production and the producer and creator was Bill Dare.